Amen. Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Poplin. Amen. I'm glad he touched me. If you know what that song's about, you know what I'm saying this morning. I'm thankful today the Lord touched me and saved me. And I was thinking about the there in the scriptures where that verse sort of, or that song sort of springs out of, the woman the Lord healed with the issue of blood. Something I've always enjoyed about reading through that section there. Of course, we know how she reached out and touched the Lord and how the Lord touched her and cleaned her up. And same thing in my life. By faith, we step out and just trust the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about baptism. It's not about religion. I shocked my therapist the other day. We got talking, and she's been a little of everything. And again, I told her, ma'am, it's really not about religion. I said, it don't matter what you call yourself. Truth is, the Word of God is our truth. And the truth is, you must be born again. And I said, religion is what sends a lot of people to hell. And she looked at me funny. I began to explain myself to her. Before the whole conversation is over, she understood where I was coming from. And listen, we don't want religion around here. That's just man's way of thinking he can get to God. Man can never get to God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had to come to this earth and live upon this earth and die that we'd have a way to God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but I'm thankful. But with that, again, I'm thankful the Lord touched me. But the thing that encourages me, too, is the Lord knew that he'd been touched. You know, you touch the heart of God through your life, through your doings, through your day after day after day. You touch the Lord. And that's a blessing. It's a thought that we ought to be taking very seriously. All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning. I hope you've got your Bible. If you don't, there should be one in the pew there where you're at. We use the Bible a lot around here. That's what we've got. It's the Bible. And you don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from God. And we use the Bible, so I hope you'll take the Bible this morning, follow along with us. We're going to 1 Peter this morning. Actually, we're going to several places this morning. But 1 Peter will be where we take our context from this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you found your place, and you can, let's stand together this morning out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Begin looking with me this morning in verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. This is what the Bible says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, I thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful songs, for the fellowship that we've enjoyed. And God, we thank you, Lord. I had an opportunity to go around to the children's classes this morning, God. And as we're in here this morning, God, I know that we have a peewee church and a children's church and a junior church that are meeting. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to those youngins this morning. God, they need to hear truth this morning. I pray, Lord, you'll help the workers there, the teachers. I pray, Lord, you'll bless there. But, God, as we've gathered here together this morning, God, I need you. Lord, if nobody else here this morning needs you, I need you. But I believe everybody in here needs you. And I pray this morning, God, that you'd help us, God, to be able to be seen. God, I pray, Lord, you'll be lifted up. God, I pray, Lord, you'll have free reign in this place. I pray that you'll have liberty. And God, if there be one here this morning, God, that's lost, oh God, would you please, Lord, speak to that heart. Let them hear you as you woo them. God, let them see the price that's been paid that they could have the life that you've given them. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'd speak to that heart. God, I'm sure this morning there's several that would say they're saved this morning. God, I know that we're living in some difficult days, but God, help us to be on fire. God, help us to be that light and salt to this world, Lord. And we'll thank you for that. For it's in the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, as we've met here this morning, as we've read here this morning, the verse that I really want to draw out this morning is found in verse number 5. There's so many things that we can look at this morning through these verses that we've read this morning together. But this is the thought that I really want to spend some time to this morning. The Bible says in verse number 5, He says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The thought that I really want us to drive into this morning and get a hold of is that little word this morning, kept. The Bible says, once again in verse number 5, who are kept. I'm glad this morning I'm part of that who are. I'm glad this morning if you're saved, you're part of that who are. And if you are part of that crowd, and that's the kind of crowd I like to hang around with, that who are crowd, you are kept this morning by not yourself, not by some government, not by your own abilities, not by your own strength, but you are kept this morning through the power of a holy and a righteous God. And this morning, that ought to do something for us that are saved. We are kept this morning. We'll dive more into that thought of kept here in a little bit. But before we can really look at the thought of being kept, we got to look at the reverse side of that, because I remember when I was lost. I remember I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. I wasn't perfect. I went to church every Sunday with Mom and Dad. I carried a Bible every Sunday. I went through Sunday school. None of that stuff was helping me, though. I mean, I was hearing truth. I'm sure it did help. But I'm saying it didn't ease my heart. Amen? I would still lay down in my bed at night, and I would think about what the preacher said or what my Sunday school teacher said or what Mom and Daddy said about hell and that I needed to be saved. It wasn't good enough to be a good boy. It wasn't good enough to be a good church member. I needed something that would bring stability to my life. And today that we live in such a day-to-day, you know, we've got all kinds of, and I'm not against these things in some ways, but in other ways I am. We got so many kinds of forms today. You know, we got so many, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you go here. If you're a drug addict, you go here. If you got this problem, you go here. Hey, I'll tell you where you get your help from. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. If you got a sin in your life that's bothering you, listen, I know we got some visitors this morning and you might not know how to take me. Listen, we're all sinners. The bad part people have in their mind to think, well, you know, we got to have the facade about us that we're perfect. Listen, there's not anybody perfect. There was only one that was perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all got problems. But listen, I'm glad that I got forgiven, amen? Still got this old sin nature, still get all of my problems. But the thing that makes me different is I'm saved this morning through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the Bible talks here about being kept. But to get to that place this morning, we got to realize how we used to be. And I'm afraid this morning, There's probably some sitting here this morning that are members of this church. If the Lord was to come back today, you're really not ready to go. Preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. I've been a member of this church for 500 years. When you stand before God, that ain't going to hold a lot of weight. All He's looking for is one thing. Blood. The blood of that Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid there's many this morning, and you know who I'm talking about. Preacher, how do I know? Because you know that when God begins to stir in your soul and you lay there in the quietness of your bed at night and you begin to think and God begins to show you that you're not ready to meet Him and you begin to get a little upset and you begin to get a little nervous and you come to a place like this and the preacher gets up and preaches on hell and preaches about sin, preaches about the blood of Jesus Christ and you're fidgety. And you're uncomfortable. There's a lot of people trusting in being dunked in a booth like this. Listen, that's just Rowan County water that gets put in there. It don't do nothing to save you. Why? Because there's only one thing that'll save you. It's the blood that saves. So again, the Bible says that we're kept this morning. We'll get to that thought of kept in just a little bit. Before we get there, let's look together this morning in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians this morning. How I used to be. And maybe how some of you are this morning. The Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, look with me this morning. Ephesians, I want you to see this. Don't just trust the preacher. See what God says. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me this morning. Again, we saw there in 1 Peter that we are kept. And we'll see what that means in just a little bit. But before we see that, I want you to see this. Look at verse number 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children. Notice what it says. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. What is he saying? He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's just like a ship that's out on the waters. And I'll never forget, been out in the ocean twice on this type of fishing trip. And one time it was my dad and myself and my brother, and it was terrible. You had to hold on with one arm around the rail of the boat and hold the rod in the other hand. I mean, it was just constantly up and down and beating and tossing. My brother, he fell down two or three times just because of the action of the ocean. And then one time we were down to Outer Banks fishing, and it was the same way. And I mean, it was all you could do to hold on and put your feet under something and find some stability. There was nothing to keep you. And that's what God says. He says, don't be that way. Don't be tossed here and there, up and down, left and right. And that's where a lot of people are this morning. You're not in any type of stability. You don't have that keeping power of God that keeps you centered in the walk that God's given us. You're tossed to and fro. The Bible also says, if you want to follow along over in James chapter 1, I'll read these verses to you real quickly. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 8, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. I'm glad this morning I'm not a double-minded man. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. Preacher, that sounds awful brave of you to say so. No, I didn't inherit that as far as when I was born into this world, but when I was born again, Christ moved into my life, and I have the mind of Christ that abides in me, and I have a mind for Christ, and that mind brings stability. But a double-minded man, you might be a religious man and act like the devil every day of the week except Sunday. That's double-minded. And there's no solidness, there's no stability in that. There's nothing that keeps you. You're tossed here and there, up and down. Look with me, I want you to see this. Look with me over in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 49 this morning. Jacob getting ready to die here. He's leaving his family. And you know, I can't imagine what his children must have thought as Jacob lay there on his deathbed and began. You know, most of the time you would hope. You know, you're laying there. I've held the hand of a loved one as they slipped out of this world into the other. And I've heard those sweet nothings as they tell you how they love you and how they're going to miss you and all these things. And that's precious. But I can't imagine this conversation. Look with me here in Genesis chapter 49. Here Jacob getting ready to leave out of this world. He says in Jacob, verse number 1 of Genesis 49 says, and Jacob called unto him his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Verse 2 says, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Look at verse number 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Well, that sounds good. Can you imagine Reuben as he walked up? Yes, Dad, I know you're dying. Boy, and Dad looks at him and says, boy, you're my first one. And you know how it is. Your first baby comes to this world, and there's just, you know, something different about that. You know, and he's sitting there, and he's the head of this household now. And here Reuben walks up, and Dad begins to tell you, you're my strength, you're my excellency. And he, I'm sure Reuben's chest was starting to puff up a little bit, you know, because Dad was getting ready to come off the scene. So that means he'd be the head of that household. And look at him. He says again, verse 3, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Then look at verse number 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, thou defilest thou it, and he went up to my couch. Boy, that changed in a hurry, didn't it? He went from being prideful to, oh no. Jacob laid there and he says, son, you're my firstborn. You're my exit. You're the one that came into this world and brought hope of my family moving forward. But you're as unstable as water. I know a lot of people this morning that are unstable as water. Water, it sloshes here and there. It has no stability to keep it, to hold it. And that's what he's telling Reuben. He says, you're up, you're down, you're tossed to and fro. And this morning, that's exactly where many people are this morning. You're tossed to and fro. You have no stability. You have nothing that keeps you. And you know, this morning we're going back there to 1 Peter here in just a moment. But you know, this morning, that's as we've read this thought of unstable as water. We've talked about a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. We saw in Ephesians how they're tossed to and fro. Can I say this morning, if you're lost, that's what your life is. And sadder than that, that's what your life will always be. What do you mean, preacher? Because the Bible says if you die without Christ, you're going to go to a lake of fire, where the Bible says where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not. It's a place of utter darkness. You're talking about a place of tossed to and fro. A place, well, preacher, you know, I've been there. I've worked in public work. I've heard those guys, boy, we get to hell, it's going to be a party down there. They don't have a clue what they're into. They don't know what they're getting ready to fall into. They're going to get into a place. I was in the fire department for years. I've been in houses that's on fire that you couldn't see your hand. The smoke was so black, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. All you had was a hose that you were dragging, and you're taught how to keep yourself calm in those situations and know how to get back out if you can't find your way. They teach us as you go in, every time you come to the door, always go right, always go right, always go right. What does he mean? That way you always know how to get back out. You've got that hose that you're dragging in with you, that you have something to hold on to find your way out. But friend, I want to tell you this morning, if you're lost, if your family's lost, if you got somebody that don't know the Lord, they don't have a lifeline. They don't have a way out. They're unstable in all their ways. They're being tossed to and fro. But I'm glad this morning, as a child of God, and I don't stand here in pride, I don't stand here and boast, but I'm thankful this morning every day of my life as I listen to the news, as I see the craziness of this world, as I think about all the things that we're having to face and to see, and a generation that's coming on that has no idea. But I'm glad this morning I can roll up my sleeves, I can throw up the flag and say, hey, there's hope to be had. There's stability here. Every day jobs are lost. Every day people are losing this. Every day, hey, but I'm glad this morning when it comes to Christ, I know that day after day after day after day, I'm kept. And that's what God tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Again, he says, who are kept, how? I'm not kept by myself. I'm not, you know, people say, well, I'm holding on. I'm not. I'm in his hand. I'm solid, secure, steadfast, sealed in His hands. And that's my stability. And God tells us again, we are kept in verse number 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1, who are kept, how? By the power of God. You understand what you've got? A foundation that's sure, a foundation that can't be shook, a foundation that will not fail. We looked the other day, I don't remember if it was Sunday or whenever we were talking about, I guess it was Sunday night maybe, talking about those foundations, how God references that one. The wise man built his house on what? A rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the storm came, and we look at the fact that the storms always comes, hey, it rains upon the just and the unjust. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the storms ain't going to knock you down. But what it does mean that my feet are planted on a rock, and even though I might get knocked down, even though the wind might get knocked out of my chest, hey, I got foundation that I can get back up on and stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can go through this life on that thought. But then he tells about that other house that was built on the sand. And the same storm came, and what did it say? It fell, and great was the fall. This morning, I want to tell you, for us that are saved, we ought to put a smile on our face. Preacher, but who's going to be our next president? I don't know. Don't care. I'm not making light of that. I really ain't. It should matter. We should pray because there's so many things that we've adopted into our country that we've allowed to come into our country that's craziness. But listen, again, we need to rise back up and let people see that Christ is the answer. Christ is our stability. Christ is our young people. Boy, I've never seen so many young people. What a mess. What a mess. I'm glad we got some good youngins. But they're not perfect. They're just like you, made out of the same stuff. But I've never seen young people with the ideas that they have. The things that I read an article, I think it was yesterday, the day before, talking about pornography and the grip of pornography in our day. And we think that that's not going to affect our country. Day after day, you read in the news of another teacher that's committed a crime against a child. Where is that stemming from? You see all these rapes and all these. Where does that stem from? We are a perverse nation. Why? Because we're being tossed to and fro. But there is stability to be had. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he says this, "be ye steadfast." How could you do that? It's one thing my doctors, Brother Pop, talking about getting old. I've learned a lot about myself these last few days with surgery and then going to therapy. I didn't realize I was that bad of shape. My therapy person says, "I want you to stand on your left foot just as long as you can." I thought, well, that's easy. Then I realized, wait a minute, I'm a little wobbly. Try that. You older people, y'all young people, y'all can just stand there forever. But you old people, you go home this afternoon, you stand there and think, wow, it don't take long. She says, "I just want you to do it for 50 seconds. I thought, well, that ain't bad. I didn't make it to 50 seconds. Then she said, "Do the other foot." I was like, well, okay. It wasn't no better. Why? It showed me that I wasn't stable. In this old flesh, I'm not stable. In my flesh, I can do anything. I'm as wicked in this flesh as anybody else is. The only thing that brings anything to my life is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what gives me my foundation, and that's what keeps me. And he says again there in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor." I'm glad this morning as the world's tossing to and fro, I'm glad I'm hooked in to an anchor that will not move, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12 says, "For this which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Again, it's all about that thought of being kept this morning, as we saw here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. We are kept by the power of God. I always like reading quotes. You know that if you've been around me any time. I read this and I thought, well, that's good. Jim Elliot, a missionary in South America, said this in his latter years. He said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I gave up some things that there's no way I could keep them. But I gained something that I could never lose. Amen. That's the security that I have. That's what's inside me this morning. And listen, I don't mind, you know, people say, well, I'm not talking to them people. Listen, when you're secure in what you believe, and that's our problem. Most people don't know what they believe. You listen to music that tells you one thing. You listen to a TV preacher, he tells you this. You listen to another preacher. Well, preacher, you're just another preacher. You're right. If you listen to this what I have to say, you ain't going to get a whole lot. Why do I keep referencing back to this book? That's our anchor. That's our hole. That's our foundation. The Word of God is true. Then I like this. And again, our country, boy, how we've slipped. John Adams, one of our founding fathers, said this: "It must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble acknowledged dependence upon God and His overruling providence." Now, that was a man that saw this country birth. And he said, there's no way that we could have a national security. I don't care how many planes we build. I don't care how many missiles we build. I don't care how strong of an army or military. And we need one of those. But I'm saying there's no way that we can have stability, that we can have a hope of security in man alone. And our founding fathers recognized that. And that's the reason he would say that it had to be through the dependency of God. So again, this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15, we see that we are kept. And again, you've got to understand this morning, you might be here this morning and you're wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? Listen, friend, this morning you need Christ. And I know this morning if you're lost, you're being tossed to and fro. But you don't understand this. Well, there's a lot of people that say they're saved. And I'm not arguing with them. There's a lot of saved people this morning that are not grounded in truth. And you're being tugged here and there. This morning, you need to set your eyes on one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Get in this book and dig into this book and die to yourself and live for Christ day after day. That's where we find our foundations. But again, to that thought of the word kept. Again, the Bible says, who are kept by the power of God. And I thought about that word kept. And of course, the first thing I think about it, when I think about that word kept, I think about the thought of security. I think about our salvation. Now, I don't know where everybody comes from. We are a Baptist church, but being a Baptist is not what's going to get me to heaven. But I'm telling you this morning, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Baptists this morning that don't believe in eternal security. They don't believe once saved, always saved. Well, preacher, that's foolish. How can you say that once you're saved, you're always saved? Because I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in the power of God. That's where my salvation comes from. That's how I know if He saved me, He's not going to let me fall. No man can pluck me out of His hand, the Bible says. So when I think about that word kept, I'm kept. The Bible says I'm sealed until the day of redemption. We had green beans one night this week. We eat a lot of green beans around our house. My wife, we can beans. I don't. My wife does. I break beans. I'm a bean picker and a bean breaker, and she's a bean canner. That's how it works. She went down in the basement and brought up some jars. And thing's probably been down there 3 years or more. Went over there and unscrewed that lid. Took that lid and got a hold of that seal. Went pop. I love that sound. Now my wife, she's on the other side of that thing. She likes, after she cans it, she puts them out there on the counter, and you'll be sitting in the house, all of a sudden you hear something go, doink. She's, and this is what she'll say. She was here. She's at home with the grandbabies. They're sick. But she does this, and she don't do it just mockingly. She says, thank you, Lord. Why? That just means that can's sealed. That means that can will be good for years upon years. Well, I can say, thank you, Lord, when I was 13 years old. I bowed myself before a holy God. I said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm tired of being tossed to and fro. I'm tired of being scared of hell. I want some stability. I want some securities. I want some safety. And I said, God, if you'll save me, I'll live for you. And He saved me. I was birthed in His family. You know what happened? I was sealed at that moment. So I think about the thought of being kept this morning. What's keeping you, preacher? It's not my religion that keeps me. It's not my motivation that keeps me. It's not my daily so-called Bible reading that saves me. It's not how good I am that saves me. I'm sealed this morning. That's what keeps me. How? By the power of God. So I thought about, you know, again, safety or secureness. And then I got to think of that word kept. Not only does it think about the thought of salvation, but I'm thankful this morning, and I am. I'm excited that I'm saved. I'm excited to know, hey, you know what? I lay my head down every night, and I think, you know, if I died, I thought about, you know, a few weeks ago when I had surgery and Brother David prayed for me and my wife kissed me and out the door they went with me. And I thought, well, Lord, this might be the last time I ever see her on this side. But I was all right with that. Why? Because I knew I was in God's hands. I knew if I died, the first thing I'd see was Him. So I have that security. But not only that thought of being kept for salvation, but I think about, praise God, I can walk around every day protected. Preacher, you think you're better than everybody else? Oh, no. I can get out in the road and get run over. I can get shot. I can be kicked. I mean, I can get hurt in this flesh. But I'm in Christ. And I'm protected. He's my shield and my buckler. He's my refuge. Hey, when the storms do come, hey, I'm in that protection. And one of the saddest parts of the Bible, we won't take time to turn there. Jesus standing over looking across at the city of Israel or the nation of Israel, and He begins to talk and He says, you know, I'm like that mother hen. And if you never grew up on a farm, you don't know how this works. I used to love it. I was mean young and I do mean a lot of mean things. But I learned that chickens were funny animals. It's in a chicken. You get around a bunch of chickens and you whistle like a hawk would whistle. But you get a mama hen with some little chicks. she'd hear that whistle and she'd raise them arms up like that, them wings, them little chickens. She'd sit down on them. And Christ looked on that nation of Israel. He says, I'm like a mother hen calling to my baby chicks. But then the sad verse is, he says, but you would not. See, I'm kept this morning through salvation because of the power of God. But I'm protected this morning because I'm under His wings. I found that protection. Listen, the storm still howls and the storm still hits and the storm still blows. But I'm so thankful this morning I'm kept. I'm kept in my salvation. I'm kept in that security and their protection. And then I thought, you know, I was talking to Brother Larry. We were talking about yards and stuff, and I can't do anything yet. They won't let me do nothing. And that's one of the hardest things is I want to do and can't do. So I want to put some fertilizer on the yard. I want to put some lime on the yard before this rain come in. So we go and buy the stuff and bring it home, and my wife and my daddy gets out there and puts fertilizer and puts lime on my yard. Why? Because it needed something to keep it. If you're going to have a garden this coming year, you're going to have to get out there and work it. Why? Because if you don't work it, what takes over? The weeds. And I thought about that word kept, and I'm glad this morning there's a gardener, a master gardener. Just like a gardener keeps his garden, I have a gardener that's keeping me. Hey, he's working in my life. He sees those weeds. He sees those things that need to take care of. He sees where I need some nurturing. He sees where I need some things taken out of my life. Why? Because he's keeping. The Bible talks about, we looked at it, I think, Wednesday night, how we are planted in Christ. He's that master planter. And this morning, if we think about that word keep, not only is it talking about our salvation, not only is it talking about our protection, but it's talking about our appearance. And it amazes me. And I don't know what, I know the outside doesn't speak a lot. I mean, again, you can't hold on to this world and hold on to Christ and think you're all right. I'm not saying people aren't saved. But listen, I'm glad God's working in me. Why? Because He's trying to make me more like Him. You can't be like this world and say, oh, how I love Jesus. But we're growing in a day and time where people think you can walk around and live the way this world is, but you can say, hey, how I love Jesus, and then curse them in the next breath. Something's wrong with that. But I'm saying this morning, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We've all got our own problems. But I'm saying, but God is working in my life. He's keeping me. He's keeping me. He's getting things out of me. He's purging me. And that's the keeping power of God. And last of all this morning, again, we are kept. We're kept through our salvation or by our salvation through Christ. We're kept in protection through Christ. We're kept in our appearance through Christ. I'm kept in my direction. I'm glad God's guiding me. He keeps me going in the right direction. This morning, are you going in the right direction? Is your life heading towards Christ, or are you out into the river flopping around like my pastor always says, any dead old fish can float downstream? It takes nothing to go with the world. But when you get out here and you decide you're going to live for God and you begin to walk for God, hey, you better hang on. Why? But God's got you. But He keeps my direction. He keeps me focused. This morning, are you kept? The Bible over there, and I don't have time to read all these verses, but I'll read this one to you. The Bible says over there in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? Because I'm kept by that power. Let me read these verses to you. You can mark them down. You'd like to go there later, but in a little book over there called Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. Listen to this. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, he says, although the fig tree shall not... Habakkuk chapter 3, if you take time to go over and read it, probably one of the sweetest verses on our hope. He goes on to say, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Isn't it beautiful right now? Boy, I sat out on my front porch yesterday evening, just look across our pastures, and the pastures are coming alive. And look across there and see the trees. If I drove in this morning, I saw many a tree already blooming. You look at our trees out here in the yard, they're starting to bloom. Oh, what a beautiful sight to see the blooms. But here God's saying, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Anybody got any fruit trees? Is that a trick question? Anybody got any fruit trees? We pastured up in the mountains for years, or a couple years, and apple trees everywhere. To have apples, you have to have blossoms. Is that a true statement? Yeah. You don't have apples unless you have blossoms. But listen to what he says. He says, all the fig trees shall not blossom. What does that mean? They're not going to be any figs. That fig tree don't blossom, it won't have figs. It goes on to say, neither shall the fruit be in the vine. He says, the grapes aren't going to produce. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall have no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. What's he saying? He says, there ain't nothing going to happen. There's not going to be any apples. There's not going to be any grapes. There's not going to be any olives. There's not going to be any meat. There's nothing going to be. Then he says in verse number 18, listen to this. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer and my stringed instruments. That's the reason I can say again, as 1 Peter says, I'm kept by the power of God. This morning, are you tossed to and fro, or are you kept? Where do you find? Everybody's looking for something that's stable. Well, this job here is stable. I've had a few of them jobs. Then they gave me that pink slip and said, don't need you no more. Wasn't too stable, was it? Boy, my health. Boy, I take good care of me. I eat the right foods. I exercise. Then you have a heart attack. Or you have back surgery. Not too stable, is it? This world is not stable. There's stability in only one place. And that's where our children need to see that. That's where our families need. Listen, you want a good, strong family? Get in the book. Walk with the Lord. You want your children. And listen, I wish my son, he's not here. I wish my son was living closer to the Lord. What do you do, preacher? I stand on my rock. I just trust God to take care of him. I said, God, you're going to have to do something. I can't. You want your children to live for God? You can't make them. You can give them everything they need. It's a choice just like you choose. All you can show, don't you get tired about, I had this conversation not long ago. Don't you get tired of living like that? Don't you get tired of the ups and downs? And listen, when you get saved, you have problems. But during my problems, when the fig tree's not blooming, when there's no cattle in the field, Habakkuk says, I still gonna praise the Lord. And that's where I try to stay. Why? Because I know that's my stability. That's my security. That's my hope. Listen, this morning, won't you get off the ride? Don't you get off this roller coaster and get on something that's straight and narrow. I told a guy one time, I was witnessing to him. He was a mechanic. I said, you see that car right there? Now, I don't know a lot about mechanic stuff, but I just come across my mind. I said, you see that car right there? It was an 8-cylinder engine in it. I said, I can pull one spark plug off of that thing, and you know, that thing will run. It will. It won't run good, but it'll run. I said, that's where your life is. And this man claimed to be saved, but he couldn't understand why all the things in his life just kept overwhelming him. I said, you're not living for God. You're not walking with God. You're not trying to live for God. And your family's not trying to. No, people don't like you to say that, but, you know, I'm one of these people. Listen, truth's what we need. You know, my doctor told me I was fat. I didn't get mad. I said, you're right. Why? Because it doesn't help me. That weight needs to come off. I understand that. But I'm saying this morning, he could have said, you're fine. Just keep doing what you're wanting to do. Would that be a help to him or to me? No. I told that man, I said, when you put that plug back on, or that plug wire back on there, that car will run just right. I said, when you start deciding that you're going to quit living the way you're living and decide you're going to live for God, you'll run a lot smoother. Why? Because it's right. This morning, we need to get back to that foundation. And that foundation is the Lord. We are kept by the power of God. Kept in that hand. If you're saved this morning, I'll put a smile on your face. If you're lost this morning, you ought to run to the altar and say, oh, God, I need that. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like all this instability. I don't like this darkness. I don't like this feeling that I have. Won't you come get on the rock? Let's stand this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.